Here we are once again, my friend, with another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks. I've got a great lineup for you. Rick Weinstein is here to talk about the Actors Ensemble. If you were an aspiring actor, you want to stay tuned for this. And Laura Lee Smith, with her new book, Ice House, will be with us, an accomplished author. So stay with me. Miriam's got another guest in the business spotlight. It's going to be great.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got his card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. To be a part of this lovely thing we call Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, you know that this is the portion of the show when I try to sound important and intelligent and informative and in touch and connected and aware and motivated. Well, so much for that. But I do have some very interesting guests for you on this occasion. And it is a pleasure to bring to you Rick Weinstein, who is, in his own right, an accomplished individual. He has participated in a lot of different ways to the good of folks, we'll say, in general, across a number of different professional settings as a social worker and a community kind of organizer kind of guy, and now involved with this Actors Ensemble. He's got a bit of a thespian background and, you know, theater kind of work. And he's done a lot of good for organizations in helping them advance their purpose as a marketer, kind of development director. So here he is with Actors Ensemble, telling us today about this upcoming opportunity for those who are interested in pursuing a career as an actor, particularly in film. And this may be a person who has never done such a thing, has always thought, man, I'd like to give that a try. Or it may be somebody who is established as an actor, but wants to take up this opportunity with Actors Ensemble to go through a kind of workshop environment, a workshop setting in which you walk away with a sort of demo reel, as it turns out, a disc, and where you've been on camera and you've gotten some coaching and you've gotten even some self-coaching. You look at it as a performer and say, here are ways in which I can improve my performance. That's a good thing. So we gave Rick a chance to come here today and tell us about that, and I think you'll find it worthwhile. You may yourself have interest in it, or you may know of someone who needs to know about it, so that would be important, right? You could refer them on to Rick and this whole Actors Ensemble effort. So that's coming up in this first hour, and then I've got Laura Lee Smith, who, if you know, is an accomplished author and has now published her second novel. The first one was called Heart of Palm, or is called Heart of Palm. It came out back in 2013. recently published, The Ice House, is her latest, and she'll be here in the second hour to talk at length about her work as an author in this particular book, and she's even got one that she's, I guess, has in the hopper, we'd say, is working on, and we'll find out about that. But she's an interesting individual in her own way, who brings us these rather twisted and tortured stories of people who are going through all kinds of adversities. Meanwhile, from my humble observation, Laura's life is pretty normal. I don't want to say it's not fascinating necessarily, but certainly not to the degree that her characters carry out these rather overwhelming circumstances. You know, and we're going to hear about that in this book, The Ice House, where the main character faces all kinds of catastrophe. But here's Laura Lee Smith, who is doing her best to take us inside of this rather fevered imagination of hers. And I think you'll find that rather enjoyable. We have a lot of things going on around town, of course, and a news of the day kind of stuff. I wanted to point out that the Tallahassee Democrat has announced nominations are open for this year's 25 women that you and I need to know. And so if you are someone who would like to nominate, maybe you'd like to nominate yourself, feel free to do so. They're looking for those candidates who in the final tally will be dubbed 25 women that we need to know. And I mean, and I, you know, personally, I get that. I mean, I'm sure it's great to have, I don't know, men or women, women or men, presenting, being presented to us and presenting us with a sort of, I guess, role model kind of status, or, you know, maybe we should aspire to achieve such things, or find in some way inspiration in these stories, and that all sounds good to me. But I can think of, gosh, probably 250 women that you'll never know who themselves are quite accomplished and have achieved a great deal, and I find especially encouraging and inspiring. You know, people who are not brought out into the spotlight necessarily. And, you know, and of course these ideas are not mutually exclusive here. It's not as though to recognize someone is somehow necessarily contrived or anything of that sort. I just think that perhaps we give a little bit too much attention to the more celebrated members of our community. And maybe it would be worthwhile to create your own list. Maybe that. You know, here are the 25 people, men or women, that I think are worthy of getting an award. Maybe that's the thing we should do. Maybe we should each have our own sort of list that we could send out a thank you to those 25 or 50 or 250 and say, you know, hey, you've been working over there at my son's daycare center or school for many, many years. You've volunteered your time there tirelessly. And I'd like to say thanks. Thanks for driving the bus. Thanks for sweeping the floor. Thanks for teaching my kid. You know, thanks for helping make lunches more palatable. That's right, the lunch lady. How about that person? Let's recognize the people in our everyday life who are people that really you ought to know, people who overcome circumstances and obstacles. I don't know, people like the characters in Laura Lee Smith's book or books, people who find themselves faced with circumstances well beyond what they could have possibly expected, whether it's illness or financial ruin or the failure of some relationship, somebody they hoped and believed in and trusted in, and they were deeply disappointed. You know, maybe it's the death of a family member, a loved one. Wow, all kinds of things that can come at us and do come at us, have come at us, that we have to somehow incorporate into our daily lives, whether we like it or not. I mean, anyway, folks, that's what I've got for you at the moment. You stay with me. I got Rick Weinstein coming up. But first, we'll have another guest in the business spotlight with Miriam Dady. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for Tallahassee Business Spotlight, brought to you by Tiffany Hamilton.
Hello, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady. It's Tallahassee Business Spotlight, and we're taking a little break from strictly business conversation today, but kind of business. My guest is Melissa Bruner. You know her as the color commentator for FSU women's basketball. She's awesome. She has taught me so much about the game. Melissa, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Miriam.
I said it's not business, but basketball is business.
It's big business. College athletics is big business, whether you like it or not. It's education, but it's also a business.
And we got two top 10 women's teams battling it out Sunday, 4 o'clock, Notre Dame and FSU. What is FSU ranked this week?
This week, we've got number 8, Florida State.
Awesome.
Highest we've been in the last couple of years. And Notre Dame is currently ranked 5th. So two top 10 women's basketball programs trying to battle it out for the tops of the ACC. Both teams currently tied for first, along with Louisville, who Florida State went on the road and defeated Louisville last weekend on Sunday. Looking for another upset, another top 10 win this weekend at the Tucker Center. We need all the support we can get, which is why we're here to talk some women's basketball.
I think we're going to trade rankings. We're going to be 5th. They're going to be 8th after Sunday.
I'm planning on it.
It costs an entire dollar to get into the Civic Center. This is the cheapest entertainment in town, right?
Yeah, a dollar for general admission tickets. It's got to be the cheapest, best show in town. 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. There's a party on the plaza starting at 2:30. I believe you can get some discounts on adult beverages as well as some concessions out there. There'll be a DJ out there. Cornhole, just a great opportunity to come out, enjoy the afternoon, and then watch some really high quality women's basketball. If you haven't watched a women's basketball game, please come out and support. It's really, these are some phenomenal athletes. You know, I know people are always say, well, you can't dunk. Well, it's great skilled basketball, and these are two of the premier teams in our conference and in our country, and they're showcased here in Tallahassee. So come on out.
I am accustomed to this particular team. I'm a huge fan. You know I am.
Yes. And we appreciate that. You and all of our loyal fans, we are grateful for. We are now trying to find some more loyal fans like you.
We got to get a lot more in the hoop trip. But I tell you, listening to the last couple of games on the radio, heart attack. and TV.
We've had
and
the
TV.
Tendency to need to come from behind. So if you're coming, don't plan to leave early because we have been a team that has liked to keep fans entertained all the way till the end and sometimes till overtime. So two really close games. We actually lead the league in scoring margin. We had been blowing teams out earlier in the season. And two games ago was Wake Forest in overtime, a win by two. And then this last game was a one-point victory at Louisville. So some really close games and an opportunity. But a really potent scoring offense. We are still our fifth in the country in scoring offense. We put up about 85 points a game. So if you like seeing the ball go through the hoop, this will be a great opportunity for you to come out and watch that.
What was the atmosphere like up in Louisville?
It was amazing. Yeah. One of the best crowds that I've ever been a part of. There are 14,000 people in the Yum Center.
Wow.
Incredibly loud. Coach Sue Semerow still hoarse from that. That's why she can't do this interview. We got to save her voice for some coaching. But yeah, just an electric atmosphere. And the players feed off that so much that, you know, it just brings them energy. They want to compete that much harder. Even when it's going against you, it's still, you know, it's an amazing opportunity and something that we want to provide these young student athletes with that opportunity. So that's why it's important for us to try to get the word out and get people to come to the Tucker Center on
Sunday. Did Seminole Sound get to go to Louisville?
They did not. So we will have a full Seminole Sound. They've typically have been between 75 and 100 students there that come and support the teams, both men's and women's. So we'll have a loud band and lots of other fun activities going on at the Tucker Center.
So
a kids zone as well. If you've got little kids, we've got the kids zone, bounce house, face painters, balloon artists, you name it. You know, just a fun atmosphere besides the basketball, which is top notch. Some other fun things. Little kids love the cheerleaders, love the band, love the bounce house. So, you know, grab your family again. Only $1. You can buy tickets now on Seminoles.com, or you can just walk up to the box office. There'll be plenty of staff available to sell you tickets for only $1. You can bring your whole family and come out and have a good time Sunday afternoon.
You know, Melissa, besides Sunday, which we want to pack the... We can't get 14,000 in the Tucker. We can get about 12.
We get 12.
Yeah. So if we can pack it out there, that would be great. But I just want to tell everybody, buy season tickets to this sport. You are not wasting a dime. You will get every penny's worth of entertainment out of it. If you are a business person and you want to share seats at the Tuck with your clients, with your vendors, this is a great way. Just buy a block. Get a block of seats. You look like a big man on campus just doing that.
Yeah, and great seats are available. It's not the situation where the only thing you could buy is the upper deck. You know, there are always some lower level seats available that folks can buy on a season ticket. They start as low as $25 for kids and seniors for season tickets. That's missed out one game. That's season. So, you know, think about that if you're a business owner out there listening to this. You know, it's a great opportunity for you to give back to our community. Give back to your clients, maybe your employees. It's an opportunity for them to, you know, take their families. Just a great idea, and you know, what a great representative Sue Semerow has been for our Tallahassee community, and what a great way to support her by buying some tickets.
Yeah, season tickets for less than you can buy a family van full of Happy Meals. Do that, but tell me about postseason. We're going to be here?
Well, that's the plan. We need to keep winning. That's the goal. If you finish in the top 16 right now, in the latest of the polls by the NCAA committee, we were ranked 11, and that was before the Louisville win. So, yes, right now, all things are pointing toward the fact that we will have NCAA tournament first and second rounds here. Certainly a win this Sunday would be another feather in our cap to be able to do that, and that'll be another opportunity that businesses could come out and support by buying some tickets to the NCAA tournament to, again, just help support Sue Semerow and her cause. One other thing I want to mention, I don't even know that you're aware of, speaking of causes, Sue Semerow is going to coach barefoot. This is our barefoot game, so she's supporting Samaritan's Feet.
Samaritan's Feet
is a organization that is near and dear to Sue Semrau's heart. They help raise awareness and provide shoes for impoverished children all over the world. And Sue Semrau is actually going to be named at that game their Women's Coach of the Year and is going to coach the game barefoot. So another just great opportunity to come out and support Coach Sue for all she's done here in the community and all she does in her charitable work as well.
That is such a cool thing. How many home games left?
There are 4 home games left. So after this weekend, there are 4 home games left. And, you know, again, tickets very reasonable, go on sale. They're all available on Seminoles.com now.
Okay, folks, you got it. Seminoles.com. Buy your tickets. If you want to buy in advance of Sunday, go ahead and do it now. Be there at 2:30. Have some fun on the plaza. And buy the rest of the season. And let's see the Seminoles win it out. Melissa, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Go Noles.
Go Noles. And that's it for me. I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you talk about helping people develop their professional skills, you know, maybe you think of Lively and you think of TCC. Maybe you think of any kind of educational program that is designed to, teach people how to fix computers or drive a truck, write software, maybe even build houses. What do you do when you have a person who says, I want to develop my skills as an actor? And I mean a person who wants to pursue the craft professionally, let's say. And at the very least, wants to pursue whatever their level of skill and talent would allow them to do, whether at a local level or perhaps beyond. Well, it happens. There's good news across the land. And as we welcome Rick Weinstein today, Rick's going to tell us about the Actors Ensemble team, which is doing this work and a lot more, and he's here to tell us all about it. How are you, Rick?
Well, thank you for having me, Brian.
A pleasure. It's only been, I think, 7 years since you were last here. It must have been something I said. I apologize right up front, whatever that was. But to tell you a little bit about this guy, if you don't know Rick, he's actually the father of 3 performing artists. So you might say that he knows better than to have embarked on this effort from his own personal experience. But they all have these particular stage performing type skills, performing arts. In that respect, this last number of years, and by the way, he's a 31-year resident of Tallahassee, so he's been around us and part of this community for a long time. So once again, he knows better. Eyes wide open. But he's been privileged to be a part of the Actors Ensemble from New York City as a business and marketing manager for the Actors Ensemble. Rick has the job of doing what he does best, and that is he builds relationships and he establishes solid communication. So in that capacity, how did I do? Is that fair, all that?
Couldn't have said it better
You wrote
myself.
It yourself, yeah, right. So here it says that Rick and the rest of this Actors Ensemble team, you're bringing a limited seating on-camera workshop to Tallahassee coming up February 3rd and 4th at the Staybridge Suites Summit East. That's out there at I-10 and Highway 90. Tell us about the Actors Ensemble.
Well, the Actors Ensemble is not only for actors, Brian. And before I move on, I do thank you for that introduction.
Just do what I'm told, man.
Yeah. Well, you do it well.
Thank you.
It's also for people interested in behind the camera. Mm. So whether they're directing, producing, lighting, tech, we provide the gamut of activities related to being on camera. Mm. And this workshop was the brainchild and the baby of Bob Goodman, who has probably 35 years of experience as a director, producer, actor, teacher. He's worked at the New School in New York City. He's also been at various other universities teaching classes.
Right.
And started to do the Actors Ensemble roughly 4 years ago in the city, mm-hmm. and had some success there because, frankly, as we recently found out, there's not a lot of this particular type of opportunity on the East Coast, but there's all kinds of opportunities like that on the West Coast, out in LA and so forth. So,
and that's largely because the film industry, particularly, has its roots in Hollywood, LA, and such, right?
Exactly.
And this training that we're talking about, this Actors Ensemble training, is focused on, no pun intended, the film aspects of acting, right?
As any, it could be television, film, commercial.
Oh, okay.
And believe it or not, nowadays what we're finding is...
But not limited to stage performances.
Exactly. Well. Yeah. And what we're finding is that stage actors nowadays, and I learned this after speaking to the dean over at the film school, that this particular type of training is critical, whether they're stage only, simply because so often in order to broaden someone's personal portfolio or resume, they need that on-camera experience. And so what this provides is an entree into the on-camera experience from all different perspectives, while at the same time providing something of a takeaway when it's over. So after everything's complete, our outstanding video technician person who will be with us is going to edit each person's individual scene that will be produced the second day of the workshop, that's Sunday, and they will get an edited, professionally edited CD with their scene to either incorporate into a reel that they already have, or perhaps for some, it may be the start of a reel.
Right.
Because we're making this available to current students in film and theater. We're also making it available to anybody in the community who has experience acting and really has had a hunger for the opportunity to work in front of the camera.
That would be me. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I use that term. I actually stole that term from a bachelor in fine arts professor from FSU who I spoke to way before we decided to do the workshop here, and his words to me were, there's a hunger for this in Tallahassee.
I think so, and I think you've seen a number of examples from among the ranks of us commoners who have decided, okay, this is my shot, this is what I'm going to do, and have gone out and have done so. Bill Kelly is a good example, I think, of somebody who got involved at a local level, local theater, and just kept working and working, working his own skills, working his craft, and then continued to push himself out there via various efforts and such, has done okay.
As has Cheryl Hines.
And Cheryl Hines. But I'm thinking that there are a lot of people who have thought for a long time, you know, I really would like to get involved in theater. I should go audition for that role, that particular play or whatever, and there's a hesitancy then that says, I'm probably kidding myself. Seems to me this Actors Ensemble opportunity might be a way of helping to answer that question a bit.
Absolutely.
Because now I'm actually in front of people who can give me that sort of guidance and comment and, you know, help me formulate better if I am kidding myself, or do I really have some ability that's worth pursuing.
And what adds to that description, Brian, is the fact that this is an intimate workshop. We hope to get a ideal number of 12.
Gotcha.
We can support 20, but 12 in terms of the interaction, because the first day of the workshop is a very collaborative activity.
Very cool.
Everything from discussing some basics to determining what the audience that's with us understands already, using that to then move through the workshop and then ultimately apply it when we do location shooting.
How remarkable that something of this nature would show up in our town when it's not simply somebody from outside the community. You are a community member now, three decades in running, raised your family here. Nobody would be able to accuse you of being an outsider. And I'm curious, why have you stayed? I guess it's not that that shouldn't be the expectation, but typically, and you said this, especially in film, you tend to go westward.
Yep.
But you've stayed in Tallahassee, and you've chosen to bring this to us.
Sure. Well, the fact is that Tallahassee was a great compromise when I came here to get my master's degree between where I grew up in Miami and where my then wife grew up in Milton. It was sort of a compromise, if you know what I mean.
And that's so, Tallahassee's whole history.
Right.
Between Pensacola and Jacksonville.
Exactly.
Here we are. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
right.
We both, got recruited to work at the hospital initially, and then after being here for a few years and getting my degree, we thought this is a great place to raise a family. And as it turns out, it was, because our kids, despite their desire to get out of Tallahassee, which every kid wants to do when they graduate high school, they have a fondness and an affinity, and they're able to call Tallahassee home. And that, to me, makes... You know, it means, hey, we did something right.
Well, if you can call Tallahassee home or right along with Rick Weinstein, then you're in the right place. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Rick Weinstein, who has graciously agreed to endure all kinds of nonsense here as we talk about more important things, like this upcoming Actors Ensemble. It's a workshop that Rick's been trying to help me understand better. Big job, but he's up for it. Here's what they're going to teach you. If you have interest in this, and you just might. You might be that person like me saying, yeah, you know, I've always thought it'd be kind of cool to try to pursue this. And you may not be a working actor. You may not be skilled. That's okay. They're willing to hear you. You have opportunity to be familiarized with the correct jargon. So when you're talking with a director, for example, you're going to have to be able to talk the talk, right? Well, they're going to help you learn that. You're going to understand the many jobs of the crew, the people who actually are the behind-the-camera people who make all that happen, and how that affects any one individual performance. They're going to help you mold skill sets, your particular skill set, in a scene with analysis that's going to fit the stylistic demands of film and television. In other words, just because you do something on stage in a live performance doesn't mean it works here in film. And that's just a few of these many ways in which this workshop can help us. What am I missing, Rick?
Just that this comes from, again, New York City, and as I said earlier, lots and lots of experience. And we also offer consultations related to audition prep and offer consultation regarding screenwriting and things like that. Mm. I mean, the ability to be flexible with our workshop, depending on the audience, is there. So while we have a planned syllabus, if you will, or agenda for the workshop, we are a group that can do all kinds of
I'm noticing this when you say those who decide to jump head first into the choppy waters of becoming a screen actor will fail without a solid foundation.
Exactly.
So this then purports to offer me that foundation or help me in formulating that foundation, right?
And enhancing already knowledge you've already accumulated and skills you've already accumulated. This works for veterans, and it works for beginners and folks in between. Again, folks that have a desire and have shown an interest through community theater or school are welcome and encouraged. And the nice thing too, Brian, people always want to know about the money. Well, we're offering discounts to students and military personnel.
Well, that's cool.
And all they have to do is go to the website and they can put in a promo code, just student, whether it's military or student, and they'll get a discount.
Okay.
And depending on their circumstances, they can call and speak to either me or email us at theactorsensemble@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or go to the website, theactorsensemble.com.
Right.
And they can get additional information. And if they need to speak with someone, my information is available as well.
Okay. So again, this is a 2-day experience, February 3rd and 4th.
Mm-hmm.
February 3rd from 10 to 5, and on the 4th from 9 until 6 at the Staybridge Suites Summit East at I-10 and 90. And again, limiting the number of attendees to ideally 12, but you said you could handle as many as 20.
That's correct.
So if I'm going to do this, I better do this.
Yes.
Get signed up. And I go to theactorsensemble.com and then click for details, and then I can go and sign up to do this. And what does it cost me?
Well, the price without a discount is $5.99. This is, as I said, a professional workshop, and the discounts available to students, and depending on someone's circumstances, if they want to call and speak with me or email me at theactorsensemble@gmail.com, I can always talk with people to see what their situation is.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are going to be basically audition grade New York style.
I'm seeing that.
Workshop experience, equipment, etc. And what we found is the Staybridge Suites is I think a best kept secret in Tallahassee. Just the hotel itself is immaculate, which really kind of surprised me because of the I didn't really know about Staybridge, but behind there, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. They've got ponds, they've got trees. We've got great location shots and places to
do all this work.
Exactly.
So they end up with a CD or a DVD, I guess you said earlier.
Right, what will happen
they're
is,
real, huh?
Yeah, on that location shooting day, each participant, when the workshop is over, will edit, professionally edit, and grade their performance. And then
so it's hands-on that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some weeks later, they'll receive that CD, because we do want to edit it properly.
I got you. When you think of Tallahassee and its theater, we'll call it the community of, and I think of Young Actors Theater, and I think of the Leaf, and there's of course Tallahassee, what used to be Tallahassee Little Theater is now the Theater of Tallahassee, right? Your perspective, are we underdeveloped?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and you may remember some years ago I was here talking about the Performing Arts Center.
Right.
And the fact that, in my opinion, we had an opportunity to take advantage of the vast number of students in the community involved in all kinds of performing arts. And why not build a campaign to develop a Performing Arts Center with the families of those students, along with the students, to develop a good marketing campaign to bring the Performing Arts Center back to life as an endeavor, because my understanding right now is that it's essentially dead.
It's a non-issue.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a shame. I mean, granted, now they've built a venue at the Tallahassee Center, but that's a concert venue, is my understanding. Mm-hmm.
The Center of Tallahassee, for its part, has a lot of square footage that's still available. So it's, by all means, not a distant question. It may be complicated, but it isn't impossible to imagine that could actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what we have for you today, folks. Rick Weinstein, who has been kind enough to bring us all of the information about this upcoming workshop, I encourage you to check it out. TheActorsEnsemble.com is the place to go. And I know that Rick will be eagerly awaiting your arrival and be eager to answer any question you might have.
Absolutely.
To get you there, including talking with you about available discounts for military and other such groups. And so it comes up February 3rd and 4th there at Staybridge Suites.
And Brian, I did want to just do a particular shout out to the BFA, MFA, stage acting and film students at FSU.
Yeah.
They already have a wonderful collaborative effort there between the two programs.
Oh, cool.
Which is very exciting. But after speaking with Dean Reb Braddock at the film school, who was very positive about this endeavor and is actually going to be reaching out to various faculty and students to also let them know about it.
Right.
They have some pretty, their curriculum's in lockstep right now, and so they don't have a lot of wiggle room. But for those kids that, or excuse me, I didn't mean to use the word kids, students.
You're dating yourself,
yeah, right?
Right.
Right.
Fathers here.
Right, who are really chomping at the bit and are truly hungry.
Yeah.
This is an adjunct. This is something in addition. Yeah. This is something that will enhance whatever they're doing currently in their studies.
Right, right. Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Brian, thank you very much.
Rick Weinstein.
Always a pleasure.
And again, the organization, the Actors Ensemble. Folks, you stay with me. We're going to have more as we get past the top of the hour. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of this here fine radio show. You know, you can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. Man, you learn to appreciate people who are devoted to their craft and have all kinds of great contributions in mind that they bring, like Laura Lee Smith, this marvelous author. So we're going to hear from her here in the second hour. She'll be with me to talk about this latest book, The Ice House. I won't steal any thunder here, so I'm going to kind of vest my cards. Boy, two metaphors in one moment. That's pretty good. But we'll let her tell the story and let her tell you about her career as an author. I think you'll find it very interesting. And the stories themselves that she has written, these novels actually, reveal the kinds of struggles that all of us can face in life. And as we do so, the question is, how do we deal with it, right? So where do we go when we're dealt the absolute blow that we weren't possibly able to anticipate, and it just comes? Well, that's a fascinating question, and it's one that Laura Lee Smith has spent a good deal of time thinking about, and in writing, she is helping us look inside of these lives, and it's not only informative in that way and sort of curious, but entertaining nonetheless. In local news, we've had our fair share of entertainment as the headlines bring us all kinds of stories courtesy of local news organizations. And you know, we've had this ongoing investigation of CRA activities, and as of late, we've had the question of whether or not there are some guidelines, we'd say, and some policies that can be established courtesy of this Leon County Citizens Charter Review Committee. Okay, so in case you're out of touch with this, I want to make sure you pay attention here, because it's at this level that decisions ultimately are brought about. Policies are established based on this sort of grassroots level discussion and determination. So this County Citizens Charter Review Committee voted Thursday to move forward with a measure that would increase campaign contribution limits from $250 to $1,000, and this would reverse a charter amendment that was approved by voters just 8 years ago. And so in bringing this to the floor for discussion, there was some opposition back and forth, or I should say a debate that went on for a period of time. But ultimately, this idea was approved by this committee that campaign contributions limits should be expanded from $250 up to $1,000. Well, that came at the same time that we found out that none other than George Soros had contributed $100,000 to the mayor's bid for governor. Well, that's interesting. So, according to Tallahassee Democrat, courtesy of their good news reporting over there, it found out that, $250,000 in the month of December for the Gillum campaign, and, you know, a little less than half of that money, $100,000, came from George Soros, who has established for himself a fairly good, consistent reputation for backing liberal causes and such. And so it is that this billionaire hedge fund manager made the donation, and it was announced this last week that in the month of December all of this money came in. Soros is in fact involved with more than just the campaign contributions. Soros cut Gillum's political committee, Forward Florida, a $100,000 check on December 29th, according to the PC's website. The DC-based Collective Future gave $20,000 to Forward Florida on December 4th and another $11,000 on the 27th. It's basically a means by which Mr. Soros is able to support those candidates and those ideas that he particularly favors. So it happens that in a little town like Tallahassee, when it's the mayor who is running for office, particularly the gubernatorial office for Florida, well, then, you know, that's when people like George Soros pay attention. They get more interested in the outcome. And he has made it clear that he has a particular interest in Mr. Gillum's success in that capacity. He has opposition, of course, and those opponents who are also running for the governorship issued their responses accordingly. But in that capacity, nothing unusual as far as we can see thus far. It's the typical sort of bantering that goes back and forth over a person's qualifications and fitness for office and you know, what they're affiliated with, what their history reveals. Nothing scandalous. Okay, so in case you're waiting for some juicy thing to have been unveiled of late, no, sorry guys. We're kind of back to the mundane aspects of politics as they go, at least here in the dear town of Tallahassee. Meanwhile, I'll tell you, there are a couple of other activities you want to take in, particularly this Operation Finale, the capture and trial of Adolf Eichmann. This is coming up Wednesday, the 7th of February, courtesy of HERC, the Holocaust Education Resource Council. Barbara over there, Goldstein, who is the head of HERC, sent us this information. So again, February 7th, 6:30. The Rendino Room at FSU Alumni Center. Suggested donation is $18. This presentation is remarkable in that it will feature this particular Mossad agent who has extended his visit here in the United States for a period of time to allow for his appearance at a few select venues. And it's being co-hosted by the Florida Holocaust Museum. And their executive director, Elizabeth Gelman, will be in attendance. She will be there with this Mossad agent, Avner Avraham, who has agreed to extend his time and thereby be available for these sorts of presentations. A fascinating story behind one of the world's most notorious escaped Nazi war criminals, Adolf Eichmann, and how it was that that individual was ultimately brought to justice. So there you go. If you have interest, make sure you make a note of that for February 7th at the FSU Alumni Center. It's part of this ongoing show that the Florida Holocaust Museum is presenting between February 10th and July 15th, entitled Operation Finale, The Capture and Trial of Adolf Eichmann, open to the public. They're at the Florida Holocaust Museum. Folks, that's what I have for you at the moment. Stay with me. I've got Laura Lee Smith coming up. More of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press, commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Laura Lee Smith is the author of the novels The Ice House, published by Grove Press, and Heart of Palm, published in 2013 by Grove Press. The Ice House follows the beleaguered McKinnons as they weather the possible loss of the family business, a serious medical diagnosis, and the slings and arrows of familial discord. The story goes on to intrigue the reader with all that this family deals with. It is our pleasure to deal with the fact that Miss Laura Lee Smith is our guest and here with us talking with the Moose about her marvelous career as a writer. And it's a pleasure to welcome you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me here
today. I appreciate the fact that you're so close on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
You have experience, I can tell.
I have had a little bit of experience.
You've been on a
yes.
few talk shows. This is how we know if we have a seasoned professional.
I was coached well.
Because they're always careful about maintaining voice level and proximity to the mic. This is important in this world. I've given you just a tidbit, my friend, as to what Ms. Smith is all about here. But what you're going to discover in our conversation is that she really has a remarkable career as a copywriter and marketer and a free agent and author. An author of not just these two books, but then her short fiction has been anthologized in Best American Short Stories in 2015, and New Stories from the South, the year's best. That was back in 2010. I'm going to embarrass you further, so let's do this. A writer who's been praised for her intelligence, heart, and wit. And I've already come across some of that in my getting to know this young woman. A writer who, with her work, I should say, Smith's work, has been translated into German and French. She lives in Florida, I believe, St. Augustine, correct?
St. Augustine, that's
yep.
right.
Yep, lovely town.
Thanks.
Oldest city in America.
Oldest city in the United States.
Right?
Yeah.
Where she is writing and working and doing all the things that Laura Lee Smith loves to do. Beyond writing, let's get into that. When you are not working, What? How do you spend your day?
Well, I have a family. I have a husband and two college-age kids, and I have a dog, and I have a house, and I have all those things that keep people busy when they're not working, or in my case, not writing. So I have a lot of fun. Living in the oldest city is a lot of fun. We get out and about quite a bit and have lots of friends.
I'm going to embarrass you further. I am shocked to hear that you have college-age
offspring. Oh, yes, college-age, college-enrolled offspring. I'm very proud of them.
If you don't know Ms. Smith, if you've never met this woman, you would be startled to find that she could possibly be old enough to have college-age kids.
You're so very kind.
I'm
trying
my best here.
You're very kind.
embarrass you further, but would it be a fair question to ask, since the McKinnons, as you describe them in this book, Ice House, face all of this tragedy and all of these horrible circumstances? I mean, this is telling me here Johnny McKinnon might be on the verge of losing it all. The ice factory he married into, which he has run for decades, is facing devastating OSHA fines following a mysterious accident and may have to close. Inspiration for this story?
Well, the inspiration for the story, and I will add that thankfully there was nothing in my own personal and my own immediate experience that tipped me into this story. I think to develop the major plot lines for this story, I did what most fiction writers do, which is simply try to mine my imagination and mine my experiences and inspirations to find characters and find incidents and scenarios that would put my characters into conflict, put my characters into tension, and then set them on a journey. And in this case, the primary character's name is Johnny McKinnon. He is on a journey, both metaphorical and physical, to make amends with his grown son, who is back in Scotland. Johnny, my main character, is a Scottish immigrant who came to Florida as a young man and has been living here and making his life here for many, many years.
Right.
But he left behind a son in Florida, who is a now 30-year-old man who has a host of problems of his own.
I see. So he makes the trek.
He makes the trek.
From Scotland to...
Well, he makes the trek from Florida to Scotland and back again. And that, for me, was one of the... You know, I have to try to be charmed by my own storytelling, because if I'm not, I think I would probably be quite bored with it. For me, that was... One of the things that charmed me is the opportunity to travel from a place like Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, which is very hot and steamy and very intense in its own Florida way, to travel from that environment to Scotland, which is very austere and cold and very
So you
ancient.
Actually did this.
Yes, I did. I've had the opportunity to go to Scotland several times, but the...
And this was in pursuit of your story, but... For other reasons, just
well,
for
other
reasons,
okay. Through the course of my life, my family has a lot of ties in Florida. In Scotland, and so we've traveled there a handful of times.
Gotcha.
And I did have the opportunity to go once while I was developing this novel. So that was a great thing to do, to go over there and immerse myself in it again to experience that culture.
When you think of those other experiences in your life, do you make mental notes as you go along, thinking, that would be a story worth telling at some point, or that would be a part of a story that I'd like to.
I do, I've spoken to other fiction writers about this, I've read craft books that great fiction writers have written about the art and craft of writing fiction, and sometimes it's a little bit disconcerting because you feel that you're not entirely participating in your own life or your own experiences, but rather you're continually taking notes to hand experiences to your characters. Mm. So if I run across an interesting person or an interesting conversation or an interesting incident, I'm half experiencing it for myself and I'm half squirreling it away to give it to one of my characters.
Many of us watched the film that came out at Christmas time about Charles Dickens writing. Did you get to see that?
I haven't seen
film?
It, but that book, the book that inspired that movie was written by Les Standiford, who is a writer. I've attended many of Les's seminars and craft conferences. He teaches down at Florida International University in Miami.
Wow.
Great writer.
The Man Who Invented Christmas,
yes.
So it's titled.
Yes.
I don't want to take too much time there, but it relates to the thing that you're relaying to us, how these experiences are always sort of hijacked by the characters that are part of your daily you know, thinking.
Yes. And a quick credit to Les, because it was many years ago when I first started learning about writing that I went to a writer's conference at which he was teaching, and he urged us, we fledgling writers who were in the room, to always look for the conflict. Always put your character in a situation where he or she is questing for something else. And this goes back to Aristotle. This is a very old model for storytelling, to put a character on a path towards something and then put obstacles in that character's way. So I tried to do that in my story, and I think most of the stories that we connect with, all of us, whether novels or films, follow that model.
Talking with Laura Lee Smith about her work as an author, a successful author with two books, The Ice House, Heart of Palm. We're going to continue this conversation. You stay with me. I've got more.
Hi, folks. I'm Joe Doty with Truck and Car Concepts in Tallahassee. I want to thank all of our first responders, law enforcement, and military for keeping all of us safe. And also want to thank all of our loyal customers and friends for such a fantastic 2017 and looking forward to a very prosperous 2018. Remember, Truck and Car Concepts for all of your aftermarket and auto accessories. Come see us, Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Ice House. Johnny McKinnon might be on the verge of losing it all. The ice factory that he's run for decades is facing devastating OSHA fines following a mysterious accident and may have to close. The only hope for Johnny's livelihood is that someone in the community saw something, but no one seems to be coming forward. He hasn't spoken to his son, Corin, back in Scotland, since Corin's heroin addiction finally drove his father to the breaking point. And now, after a collapse on the factory floor, it appears Johnny may have a brain tumor. He's been ordered to take it easy, but in some ways he thinks, what's left to lose? This may be his last chance to bridge the gap with Corin and to have any sort of relationship with the baby granddaughter he's never met.
Reading from The Ice House, Laura Lee Smith, our guest this morning, giving you a little bit of insight into what this story brings to us, this Johnny McKinnon, who is on this quest and then faces, as you said earlier, all of these obstacles that get in his way. Now he's facing a medical crisis, his son's addiction. When he passed, I don't want to steal any thunder here, but as he's going through these obstacles, tell us where you see him going for resource. How does he overcome?
Well, it's funny. I just read that little synopsis, which was actually written by the brilliant folks at Grove Press, to the back cover synopsis of the book. Yeah. And when they wrote that, I was really sort of amazed that they were able to pull it all together in such a nice, tidy summation. Yeah. Because for me, the novel was kind of chaotic all the way through, both in the writing of it and then, you know, later for me in the editing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of chaos in my brain and in the characters' lives and in the characters' journey. There's a lot happening in the novel, which I like because there's a lot of energy I feel in the novel.
Yeah.
But yes, Johnny's facing quite a number, you know, it's not
all at the same time.
A lot of things are happening to him at the same time. So he has to place himself on a journey, and he has to try to find a way to resolve some of these crises. The biggest one for him is this falling out that he's had with his son.
Yeah.
Everything else becomes just bumps in the road that he has to get over around.
You talked earlier about inspiration for such things, and yet in your own personal life, you don't witness a lot of that. There's not a legacy of crisis and broken relationships.
Well, I mean, I think we all have our histories with our whatever the level of function is in our families, you know, and it's
dysfunctional to some degree.
Yeah, I think
yes, right?
Both this book and my other book, Heart of Palm, deal with families that are struggling with dysfunction in one way or another, whether there's substance abuse or whether there's grief or whether there's resentment or
who
whatever.
Cannot
the
relate
case,
to at
who
least.
Who cannot relate to. Yeah, and so of course I've had experiences with some of those issues in my family and my extended family.
And my point in asking you that, which, as you say, well, yeah, everybody does that. How have you dealt with those crises? How do you deal with that now?
Well,
what's your style?
As a fiction writer, I delve into the minds of my characters, and in some ways it's therapeutic to watch how Johnny...
How they work it out.
Yeah. And, you know, you almost learn lessons from your characters. You almost learn some compassion, and you almost learn some patience and some tolerance from your own fictional characters, which is a very interesting, surreal phenomenon.
That is, I would imagine, maybe like those who are so very good at portraying a character themselves, let's say, as actors. You know, and I think of somebody like Daniel Day-Lewis, right, who simply becomes this character.
Yes.
They find it very difficult to step out of that. They just don't. They stay in character the
whole
time.
That, and I've often wondered if I can learn from actors. It makes me want to hang around with actors or go to acting classes because it's just incredible to me that they can embody another person in that way.
I would ask too, among your own at home with your husband and your sons, I mean, do they find that at all disturbing, that they're not quite sure that you're there, that you're seeing them and not one of your characters?
No, I think I probably do a pretty good job
of...
have that somehow walled off, and my life at home is extremely normal and extremely...
very boring.
Very pedestrian.
I'm sorry.
And very boring.
Well,
it is.
Well, that's disappointing.
It's extremely... it's just extremely normal. You know, we just do all the normal things that families do, but I try to get up early in the morning.
So you don't have to be crazy to write about crazy.
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's reassuring, actually, because I've aspired to such things, and I've thought I'm way too crazy to be able to write about it. So in your future, you look forward and you think, well, I've done a couple of books here. What's next? Where do I go from here? Are you going to continue pursuing more writing?
Yes. I think it's one of those things that you're in it, and it becomes such a part of your life that I really can't imagine not writing, or not at least envisioning stories and imagining stories. So I've got to start on novel number 3. It's in the works. I wrestle a lot, as most artists do, as I'm sure you do as well. I wrestle with finding the balance between everyday life and work and the demands of our, you know, our own lives, and finding the time to create. So it's tough sometimes. It doesn't get any easier, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But I feel energized now that this second novel is out of the gate. I really feel good about it. This one took a little while for me
just published last year.
Yeah, just last month, in fact.
And you had an opportunity to be at the Midtown Reader here in Tallahassee back on the 20th. So tell us about the Midtown Reader. These folks, I guess, brought you in to do a signing,
a reading and a signing. Yeah. And Midtown Reader is a remarkable bookstore. Just underwent a beautiful renovation.
Okay.
And the owner of the bookstore was wonderful and invited me to come out and do a reading
Marvelous.
And a signing. I hope everybody stops by the bookstore.
Plenty of copies.
Yeah, plenty
signed
of copies.
Signed
copies, yes.
At Midtown Reader, folks. So let's pay attention to that. If you haven't already been to Midtown Reader, if you were not able to see Laura when she was here, then let's make sure that you get over there and pick up a copy of The Ice House. You said published just this last month.
Yes, in December.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've got one in the works.
One in the works. My novels typically take a few years, at least, to develop and publish.
Are you able to tell us anything about that?
The new novel is set in St. Augustine. Wow. I've had a renewed love affair with my hometown of St. Augustine, Florida. We were battered pretty harshly over the past 2 years with hurricanes. You had to wrestle with it here, of course.
We had a brush.
As well, yes.
So
we had very, very serious damage in our town, severe flooding 2 years in a row. Mm. A lot of my friends and neighbors lost homes and businesses. And a strange thing happens in a town when you sustain that level of damage and that level of hurt. People kind of bind together in a new, renewed way.
Yeah.
So I feel this really new affection and attachment to St. Augustine, and it makes me want to write another St. Augustine story. My first book was set more in St. Augustine.
Interesting. Again, your fascination with crisis.
Yeah. Fiction writers love crisis.
Crisis that brings us together.
Yes.
And overcomes even otherwise maybe artificial barriers or covers up old wounds.
Conflict, crisis, and tension are the building blocks of storytelling. So fiction writers, playwrights, songwriters, poets, memoirists, we gravitate towards crisis, because that is how we develop characters.
In my academic background, I was trained in social psychology. Social psychologists talk about crisis having that function and talk about people trapped inside of an elevator who, within that period of time that they are so confined, bond. They come together to solve the problem. Now, the question remains, once the crisis has passed and things have been able, have recovered, do those relationships go on? Are they sustainable?
Well, you're getting to the heart of what, for me, is one of the most difficult things about novel writing, is the resolution and the end. In both of my books, I really struggled with how to bring the characters to resolution. Once, as you say, once the conflict passes or has been resolved in some way, it's difficult, because in life we don't have these tidy resolutions, or we don't have a tidy end to a story. Life just perpetuates and goes on, and we're just continually entering new scenes.
Remarkable.
But in a story or a novel, you have to find a way to bring
put
some closure
it.
To it. So it's hard. It's difficult.
Or maybe a question mark.
A question mark. And I think this novel has a few periods, a few commas, and a few question marks at the end.
Very Hitchcockian of you, right? Yes. Well, she is the author of two books, The Ice House, The Heart of Palm is the title. Laura Lee Smith is our guest. You stay with me. I've got more.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Laura Lee Smith, who is the author of The Ice House and Heart of Palm. A Floridian at that. Someone who hails from St. Augustine, where, if you didn't catch this in our earlier moments in this conversation, has thereby inspired her to write further about the business of crisis owing to these horrible hurricanes that many Floridians, certainly here in Tallahassee, have had to deal with. And in bringing about crisis, according to you, Laura, you find people, what happens? They reveal more of who they are, we'd say, or they open up with one another in ways they might not have?
Absolutely. I think that crisis brings us together. It also can certainly drive us apart. And when I say crisis, I don't mean necessarily the colossal crisis of a hurricane blowing in and flooding the town, which did happen. So that's like large-scale crisis.
Big stuff.
But I'm also interested in handing characters small crises, small conflicts, small hiccups in their daily lives, because I think that's how you take the measure of a man or a woman. For example, a character walking up to an ATM machine to withdraw cash, and the bank ATM machine sucks in the card and doesn't give the card or the cash back out.
Now you're scaring me.
Now you've got a character in crisis. That's just one example of a tiny little scene that you can hand a character. Now, if the character calmly walks away and decides to call the bank or get online and get to the bottom of the situation, that's one type of character, and you've developed that character and you've revealed that character's personality traits.
Right.
If the character goes to their car and gets a tire iron out and returns to the ATM machine to exact revenge on the machine, now you've revealed a different type of character. So that's my job as a fiction writer, is to just keep handing my characters problems, big and small.
How do you deal with this?
Watch them work it out, and it reveals the type of person that they are. It's fun. It's a little bit of a God complex.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah. But I identify with that.
Yeah.
I have to admit that I've been in traffic, and when I find somebody behind me who seems particularly impatient, it makes me want to slow down. Or even tap the brakes a bit.
Which reveals your character.
I'm ashamed. I'm really embarrassed.
But that little piece of tension or that little piece of conflict prompts that response from you. Just like you know if your brother-in-law is served the wrong meal in a restaurant, you know how he's going to respond. Right?
Or do I?
Yeah. So you, a tiny piece of conflict is going to reveal the character. And a novel or a play or a story of any sort is a series of pieces of conflict that the character is responding to.
Curiously enough, and especially in the stories that you're bringing us, do you find that the manner in which any one of these individuals handles conflict then has that interactive component, so the dynamics all change because my brother-in-law just got served the wrong meal, and now we see every one of these other characters begin to accommodate that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's this ripple effect, and that's the beauty of being a fiction writer, is that you just wander into these unknown areas and you serve that person the wrong meal. He has an enormous reaction, and now the waiter is involved, and now the other people in the restaurant are involved, and so you've got these opportunities that you don't even know are going to be there until you begin writing into that place.
Right. When you talk to people who have read the work you've done, do they come back to you and say, boy, I really identify with that particular character? Has that happened?
Yes, that has happened. And I was speaking with somebody about this the other day. That has been the single greatest thrill of my life. Mm. The moments when readers have approached me either personally or email or whatever, and they talk to me about my characters. Because you have to understand, my characters are people who lived invisibly inside my head for many years. And it wasn't until the books came out that these characters, these people, were unleashed upon the world. So to have a reader come to me and say, you know, I really liked it when Johnny said this, or when Pauline did that, I could really relate to her. It blows my mind every time that Johnny and Pauline are like alive and walking around in the world, and that you, reader, have met these people. It's like, you know Johnny? You know, it's amazing to me.
When you were a kid, did you have imaginary friends?
I don't think I had imaginary friends. I just read all the time. Yeah. So I was always in some story or another, and I was always thinking about characters all the time.
So these are characters that live and breathe within you, and you've given them voice.
Yes.
So the rest of us get to participate in your world.
And it's shocking to find other people relating to them.
Yeah. What is it, that famous thing about Michelangelo saying that his job was to set free the man that he saw inside the
stone? Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard that.
So perhaps that's what's happening here. You've got for us all of these folks, all of their stories, all of their problems, their victories, their losses, and now you're allowing us to enter into that world with you.
And I hope readers do relate to them. These folks are just like us. They're people who work. They're people who interact with each other, and they care about their families. Mm-hmm. These are not lofty characters. These are very real, I hope, relatable people who are struggling with issues that I and people that I know have also struggled
with. Very common.
Very common, yes.
You said that you read a great deal as a kid. So then as you are growing up and continuing your love of reading, was it early on that you realized, I really want to be a writer? Or did that come much later in life?
It actually came much later. I've always worked in writing as a career in my business life. I work in marketing and copywriting, advertising, public relations. So I've always worked as a writer to earn my living.
Yeah.
But I did not have the confidence to try fiction writing until I was in my early to mid 30s. I didn't go to school for creative writing. I didn't study creative writing. I was always a very earnest and very devout reader, but I lacked confidence. I didn't think I could take it on. So when I meet young people today who are reading or who are starting to write and they're thinking about writing stories, I really try to urge them to venture out soon and early and do it and hone your craft and get to know the process of writing. I wish I had started earlier in some ways, although I'm also grateful to have a little bit of perspective. I wasn't an impatient young writer rushing to publication. I took a lot of time to think about this before I embarked upon it. It's true.
It will confirm that.
And writing is not marathon running. You don't have to be, you know, you can write while you're sitting at a desk.
Indeed.
It's not that difficult. It's not physically demanding.
Okay, well, I'll take that in the kind manner that it was intended, since I've told you how old I am. Thank you. Well, my friend, what a pleasure getting to know you just a little bit better, and to have you spending the kind of time you have today. We look forward to having you back when it's convenient at any time. You have a standing invitation.
Thank you very, very much.
And thank you for sharing with all of us here in Tallahassee. Again, folks, if you don't have opportunity to get over there today, try to get over there one day this coming week. Midtown Reader has plenty of signed copies of her latest book, The Ice House, by Laura Lee Smith, our guest this morning. And we're going to let you move on with your day. I know you got a lot coming at you.
Thank you so much for having me. What a treat. Thank you.
A pleasure, indeed. Laura Lee Smith, friends. She's the real deal, I would say. That's what I have for you today. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.